This morning's scripture reading comes to us from Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11, and Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 8. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in the summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man.
Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 8. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free.
Amen. We give thanks for God's word, how it continues to speak to us even in this year of 2022. How God continues to orchestrate each and every worship service and each and every ministry activity when we surrender and give the Holy Spirit the opportunity. So we all know about community. Community means many things and means something different to each and every one of us. We've heard a little bit about the community of the cross. We know a little bit about the community of the Lord's table. And we know there's a community yet to experience, amen, the community in the kingdom of heaven. As we think about the importance of each and every community, living now in the will of God is so important. But yet we all have hopes and dreams, amen. So living in the will of God, but yet still living out our hopes and dreams. How important is that to you? How important is it for your hopes and dreams to become one with the will of God? Have you ever considered that? Have you ever thought about that? Have you wrestled with it? Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, where should I go to college? Where should I just get a job? Who's going to be my spouse, Lord? Who's that person you have picked out for me? Lord, are these dreams going to glorify you? Are my hope for the Lord and his ministry? It is a hard question for the world to think about having your hopes and dreams lined up with the will of God. The world's like, what are you talking about, man? Never heard of such a thing. Of course the world hasn't heard about such a thing. They barely have heard about God himself or Jesus or the Holy Spirit. There's generations now that have never set foot in a church. They drive them down these roads and through towns. They just drive by buildings and they never ever think or see it as a church or a place to worship. So it is a very hard question for the world. It is still a hard question for those within the church. The spiritually immature, those who have not put down any roots within the Word of God, it is still a hard question for them as well. God is still working on them. But let me tell you, it is doable. It is doable for the one who has said, Jesus, I am all in. I am all in because I am a part of the community of the cross. Side note, for those of you that were at the Community Hope last night, what's it called? Night of Hope last night. My sermon was done before I was there too. So that all-in message, that was an awesome message by that speaker. I was inspired and encouraged by him, but my sermon was done before I heard his speech. So this Jesus, I'm all in was something God had already laid on my heart to tell you today. So I'm all in. I'm a part of this community of the cross. The book of Proverbs, it tells us many things. It places a high value on productivity, the willingness to work hard and for the one to do one's very best at any and every job. It is a vital part of wise living. Wise living is a way of serving God with our very best. Not that we are perfect, but because of what His Word teaches and how His Word instructs us, we can live a life with wisdom. We read about the hard-working ants, but we also read about the sluggard. This sluggard, it said, consider your ways and then be wise. Be wise. Have you looked at a slug lately? Have you seen some? What's it look like? It is a life, almost like a lifeless, slimy, unattractive creature. The sluggard is lacking in hopes and dreams. The sluggard would not be considered a dream chaser. And too much. The sluggard wouldn't be chasing dreams. Is not living a wise life. Is not of Christ. Is not of God's will. But have you looked at the ants? The ants in that little ant hill? Have you seen that? Have you checked into it? Those ants, what's it say in verse 8 and 9? The ant has no commander, no overseer, no ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at the harvest. The ant is a colony. It is a community. Yes, there are different levels of authority and those in charge, but yet they don't have to tell each other, hey, it's time to get up, it's time to go to work, it's time to get to work, you haven't finished your job yet, you haven't finished your chores. No, the ant is built within a instinct of motivation, the pure instinct of motivation. Could you imagine, as I thought about this week, could I take those ants? Could I bottle up that motivation and get that in some bottle, that motivation? And could you imagine what businesses and parents and teachers and even some coaches would pay for a bottle of motivation? There'd be some money. The dollars would be rolling in. There'd be orders for motivation a mile long. As the ant stores and as the ant gathers, we think of great teachers and we think of successful businesses. We think of the Olympians and the superstar athletes. We know how they've spent hours and days and weeks and much, if not about all of their life in preparation. Chasing dreams and goals. The world says chase them. Chase them. Young men and women, chase those dreams. Society says go and go and go fast as you can and do whatever you need to do. Just go. But we are not of the world, are we? We are not of the world. Jesus' very first instruction, his first instruction to the church on earth as it began in Acts 1:4. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, wait. The church was to wait for God's Holy Spirit to move. Do not jump in front of God. Do not get the cart in front of the horse. Do not try to take it into your own hands, church. What did Jesus say? Acts 1:4. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father's promise, which you have heard me speak about. He knew they had heard him talk about the Holy Spirit and how it was coming. He's saying, wait for it. Don't do anything without it. In your life, in your business, in your family, in your school, in your whatever it is. And definitely in the church. Don't do anything without the Holy Spirit. It won't work. It won't be positive. It won't be good. So there is a time to wait. Church, families, individuals, Have you been waiting on the Holy Spirit? Have you waited for the Holy Spirit in some of those life moments, some of those tough decisions? Have you waited for the Holy Spirit to connect you with your hopes and dreams? Have you asked the Holy Spirit to make your hopes and dreams one with the will of God? Have you given the Holy Spirit the invite to bring your hopes and dreams together with God's will, so that you and the Lord become one unit, that you and the Lord are working together, that you and the Lord are working together in a peace and a unity that this world does not understand? We read in this passage, Ephesians 6:6-8, doing the will of God from your heart, serving wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. So it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter your life situation. The Lord, when you are one with Him, He's going to be one with you. And you're going to be able to do His work according to His will. He's going to have you do it according to His will. No matter what your life situation is, have you come to that spiritual understanding and that maturity, that spiritual maturity? I pray that we're getting there. No matter what the life situation is, no matter what you are struggling with right now, if you're a slave to the job, or you're a slave to the bill collectors, you're a slave to the credit card, you're a slave to the bank, you're a slave to whatever ball and chain you can name, isn't it time to get one with the Lord? Maybe you're still a slave to that personal dream and goal that you're chasing because it's all personal. And it's all about you. It's all about your own desire and your own wants. Maybe you're a slave to that. But not everyone is. There are some that are in absolute freedom. Those that are absolute one with the Lord and unity with the Lord. And you've seen those people. You've heard people talk about them. Whatever happens, they always have that smile and they always have a good outlook. Their glass is always half full and with anticipation that the Lord's going to finish filling it and run it over. You know those individuals as well, where they just have this ability to put the things that need to be put in that Lord's hands. They put them there. They don't wait around. They don't try to carry it for a while. They just put it there in the Lord's hands. You see, if you live in the will of God, your life will be one with the Lord. The Lord's will see you through life and into the next. It'll see you through these challenging days and this fallen and broken world right into that next life. That's what Jesus does. He gives us life abundantly now when we live in His will and with Him in unity. But He's so much more excited to get us with Him and His kingdom. And another thing that's so awesome about the Lord and about Jesus, when He is our Lord and Savior and when we are a community of this cross, you know what? We can leave this community, we can go to that eternal community, and guess what? We go and we're with Jesus in that heavenly realm, in that place called heaven, but yet everyone back here, like we're here today, Jesus is right here with us too, amen? I can't be everywhere I need to be for my family or friends or protect them in any way, shape, or form. Jesus can. He's going to be here long after I'm gone. And I pray that they can grow up and gain some of this spiritual maturity and realize as they become moms and dads that they're going to do all they can, but they're going to also realize it's because of Jesus. And Jesus will be here with their children and their children long after they're gone. And hopefully they all will become a part of that community of the cross where Jesus will be their Lord and Savior. Billy Graham said, and I quote, It's not unreasonable to desire happiness. It's just that we often mistaken in how to achieve it. The person who longs to be happy is in reality a person desperate for God Himself. End quote. Let me say it again. It is not unreasonable to desire happiness. It's just that we are often mistaken in how to achieve it. The person who longs to be happy is in reality a person desperate for God Himself. Now you may not admit that. I've never heard anybody come to me and say, hey, I'm desperate for God. We would struggle as Americans and middle class, well-to-do people to say that we're desperate for God. But today I ask you to wrestle with it. Is your dreams and goals, those dreams and goals that you're chasing, are they desperate for God Himself? Is your marriage and your family and your children goals, those goals chasing, are they really desperate for God Himself? Are your desires, are your wants, are your dreams that you are chasing, are they really just desperate for God Himself? Today, I challenge you with those questions. Until we are one with the Lord, we cannot fully be the church we need to be. We can accomplish a lot of things, but there are greater things yet to come, I believe, and I know, when we get this unity thing right. Unity with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As you think about this today, I've been wrestling with this all summer long. As you know, someone I love and someone that's been married to me for a long time likes to go to thrift stores, and she even likes to take me. So I like to browse around, and I found this coffee mug. A cowboy riding his horse, ranching, roping a steer. And the title is Chasing Dreams. So I've been rolling around with this message, and God has been working with me about my own dreams, my own hopes and dreams, places I've still yet want to visit, places to go, places to finally call home and be something of my own. Pastors wrestle with that as well, if you didn't know. So I've been wrestling with that all summer and drinking coffee out of that coffee mug every day and thinking about chasing dreams and how making sure my dreams are becoming one with the will of God. Or making sure the will of God's be one with my dreams and my family. But then it wasn't long after I got that mug, there on the radio came this song titled Till You Can't, a song by Cody Johnson. It is a reminder to chase your dreams because they won't chase you back. It is a reminder to spend time with mom and dad and brothers and sisters and family and friends because that day won't come back. There'll be a day when you can't. So today I encourage you to seek the Lord's holy will for your life because the time will come when your life will be over and you can't. So I encourage you today to let the Lord order and let the Lord lead your life today. Allow the Lord's will to be done and for you to be one and for your hopes and dreams to be one with the Lord's will. So I invite you to watch and listen to our closing song today. It is Till You Can't by Cody Johnson. We're just going to set, watch, listen to the words, let it soak in, and then I'll offer a closing prayer.